Here we go. Ephesians chapter 1. This is going to be the NIV version, okay? Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. To God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Woo! So, so good. Yeah. You guys feeling good? I know I am. That was so nice. You have a nice soothing voice too, Eric. I was a little bit concerned because sometimes Eric will make up words. You ever talking to him and just make up a word? I was like, uh-oh, my brother's about to read a lot of verses right here. And you crushed that too. Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate that. I'm so glad everyone is here today. Who's getting baptized today? Who's getting baptized? Come on. We got a bunch of people. What I've been told is over 300 people that have signed up to get baptized today. So it's going to be a huge party after this service. And I cannot wait. I think we have like 10 different tubs set up too. We're going to be like, boom, boom, boom. We got church tonight, too. We got people getting baptized this evening. But welcome to Shoreline. If you're with us for the first time, you need to know that we genuinely love you and care about you already. Everybody in the theater, give it up for everybody in the theater, too. I'm glad you're here. Welcome, welcome, everybody online. We love you so much. Yes, you did hear. We are beginning a brand new series on the book of Ephesians, and I'm really, really excited about this. We've just read through all these beautiful verses. If this book of the Bible is new for you, no problem. We're all going to be on this journey, do this deep dive together, okay? So I want us just buckling up, getting ready. You can read those words. A lot of them are meaty. Some things are like, what does that mean? But I am trusting and praying that God will not only use me, but will use us in our connect groups and conversations that we have to open up our eyes to what he is trying to communicate to us through these beautiful words. I've been doing a lot of study here on this book, and one theologian put Ephesians, this book of the Bible, as the queen of the epistles. And I like that. There has been this, somehow this honor set upon this book. Maybe others would give it to the book of Revelation, but this New Testament book of Ephesians is rich and meaningful, and I think it's going to push all of us forward. Go with me to verse number 3, real fast. Verse number 3. Let me open up my Bible here. Verse number three, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Some of the study I was doing, and we won't read all of it now because we just did, verses 3 through 14 in the Greek, almost read like one sentence. It's this kind of those who like opera. It's like the overture of an opera where you start off here at the beginning to say, hey, here are the melodies. I'm going to set the tone for the rest of the opera. This is what's happening in Ephesians chapter 1. It's the Apostle Paul setting the tone for the rest of this book. And this book is rich and meaningful and important. And it's not just good for like Bible knowledge stuff. It's actually good for our everyday life. Now, when you're reading these words or hearing these words, understand these were not written like the Apostle Paul's in Cabo, drinking a Mai Tai, just chilling, just thinking about the goodness of God. He's in prison while he's writing this. In prison. Now, when you and I are going through difficulty, is that when we're like, how do I write, praise be to the God and, no, that's it. We're like, Lord, beepity, beep, 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 what's happening here? What's going on in my life? Why are you here? But the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is penning words of encouragement to this church. And we'll look at later from the book of Acts how this church even came to be. And there was rioting and difficulty and problems. But people being filled with the Spirit and empowered and healings were taking place. I mean, this city was turned right side up for the cause of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul is penning these words. And he's doing them not just to the church at Ephesus, but he's also speaking to us today. Praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Now, when you first hear spiritual blessings, you're like, okay, well, spiritual blessings are nice, but I need to pay my bills. So do spiritual blessings help me pay my bills? Because if they don't help me pay my bills, then I don't know if I want a spiritual blessing. And I just want, I'll say this. I say, in our day and age, in our culture, what we have done is we have undervalued spiritual blessings because we have overvalued material blessings. We have put all of our hope and our trust in the material, in that which we see. And there's nothing wrong with the material world. God made it, okay? There's nothing wrong with wanting a job or wanting a promotion or wanting to be married or wanting a child. None of those things are wrong at all. Nothing's wrong with wanting a new coat. None of those things are wrong. But what we have done in our day and age, and you have done this, I have done this, is we place the most value on the things that are temporary and the least value on the things that are eternal. The problem is when we read the Bible and the perspective of heaven is not that the material world is the thing that you really need to be celebrating. You and I have to understand that a new coat is nice, but a new heart is even better than a new coat. That I hope you get the best apartment or the best house, but the most important house that's being built for you is the one that Jesus is building when he says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. That's the stuff that's most important. And again, we're like, well, I got problems down here. I got issues I'm dealing with here. And God has an answer for the issues that you and I are dealing with, for sure. But I just need to elevate. I need to elevate in our hearts and in our minds the spiritual blessings that we have received. Salvation is not some insignificant thing. You and I were bound for hell, but Jesus Christ got on an old rugged cross for every single one of us and said, I am dying for you. All you need to do is put your faith and your trust in me. You don't put your faith and your trust in your own works. You put your faith and your trust in me, and you are covered. You are covered for the rest of your life. Salvation is not something to be disrespected. It's something to be honored and celebrated that we get the chance to be known by God and to know God. It's an honor. It's a joy. But in our day and age, I mean, you can't, you know, you're not going to a job interview like, hey, yeah, I'm on my way to heaven. You're like, well, can you do the job? So I'm not saying it's not okay, it's bad to work or bad to be good on this side of heaven. I want you to be excellent. I want you to be sharp. I want you to be good at what you do, for sure. But I don't want us devaluing the spiritual blessings that we have received, because that's really what makes you rich. All the money you have in your bank account, you know what happens with it when you die? It's going to be given to somebody else, government, kids, somebody else, and they're going to be like, she's gone now. He's gone now. They're going to take your hard-earned stuff and maybe squander it. You don't get to bring it with you. I'm all for your bank account being as big as it can possibly be, but I don't want us to think that that's the only account that we need to make deposits in. There are spiritual accounts. Are we praying for our neighbors? I'll tell you this. I got really, really convicted on our street. For Christmas time, we walked around and we wanted to give some gifts to our neighbors. So we're walking around and we got them some bag of popcorn. I think it was. My wife is ran out of here for a second. So I think it was a bag of popcorn and a picture of our family. So because people really want a picture of us. So that's why we that's why we gave them Merry Christmas. I don't know why we did that. So we gave them a picture of our family. They can put it on the fridge and just think about us throughout the week. So we're walking around to each neighbor's house, knocking on the door, all of us as a family. And we even have our dog, too, you know. So when I'm walking up, they're like, who's at the door? I'm like, look, little puppy, everything's fine. And so we knock on the door, and one of our neighbors, their son, I think he was, oh my goodness, he's not more than six. He might be 5 years old. His name is Harvey, and he's been battling leukemia. And he had just gotten out of the hospital, and he'd been in the hospital for almost 8 months, I believe. I didn't know. I'm a pastor. I live two houses down. And I didn't know my neighbor was dealing with this with their child. I mean, I felt like, whoo, because I don't want to be great just here. I pray I crush it. I don't want to suck it up when I'm out here. You know, I want to do a good job, right? You know, like you want to do good, but I don't want to just be good on the platform. I want to make sure my neighbors know. You can knock on my door. I'll pray for you. I'm going to believe God for miracles in your life. So every time we drive past that house now, we stretch our hands and pray over little Harvey and his parents that God would do a great work in their heart and their life, asking God to give them hope and encouragement. I say all that to say spiritual blessings. Things God has given us that we have access to that you can't necessarily see, but you and I can grab a hold of, and we can bring into this life as well. Now, when I was walking through this little bit of study, I found out that there are about 60,000 thoughts that you and I have in a given day. Wow. In one day, 60,000 thoughts. Now, another website said 12,000 to 60,000. So I was thinking, that's for the men, because we're probably on that 12,000, you know, side. And we do have the ability, ladies, this is going to be crazy to you, to think about nothing. It's a gift God has given us. So when you ask your man, what are you thinking about? And he goes, literally, I'm not thinking about anything right now. And you think, no, you're thinking about something. It's like, no, literally, right now, I'm only thinking about you being mad at me that I'm thinking about nothing. That's the only thing I'm thinking about right now, that you're upset with me, that I have an ability to go to a really special place. It's a nothing place. So 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts in a day. And the website said that 75% of these thoughts are negative. 75%. I thought that was too high a percentage. So I kept on digging. And I don't know. I don't want to spend all my time on that study. But I did find one study of like 2,000 people. And these 2,000 people in the study that they did, there were at least 11 negative thoughts that those people had in a given day. So I thought it's anywhere from 75% to 11 thoughts. But you and I both know you have some negative, pestering thoughts that bother you every day. I'm not tall enough. I'm not short enough. Dang, I wish I had hair. Y'all know what that feels like, right? Dang, I wish my family was like this. Why did this happen? I can't stand this about me. I can't stand this about my neighborhood. I can't stand this about my family. I wish this was different. I wish that was different. You can go... If I gave this microphone to every person in this room, every person in the theater, every person online, we would have as many people as are here. We could have that many different negative thoughts. And we feel so many times like we don't measure up, like we don't have what it takes, like we're missing something, like we're behind. I went to a friend's 40th birthday, and I know if you're in your 40s and you're hearing this, you're like, man, I'm old. I've missed it. I'm past. So it's like, when are you in your prime then? Is your prime only in your 20s, and you're like, oh, you're too young. And then you get in your 40s, like, oh, I'm too old. Was it in my 30s? Well, in my 30s, I'm not quite. And you're trying to figure out, where do I actually fit? Where are my people? Who am I? Where should I go? We have all these thoughts that are hitting us, pestering us. Maybe you had a divorce that you've navigated through. Maybe you had a ministry that did not take off the way you wanted to take off. Maybe you had a business that totally is tanking right now. There could be thing after thing where you look at yourself and you go, I'm not enough. I don't measure up. Everybody else is better at this than me. And if you're a teenager, you can feel this. If you're in college, you can feel this. If you're married or single, you can feel this. And I don't know what your negative thoughts are, but I know I have them, and I know you have them. Why do I bring that up? Because Ephesians chapter 1 and all the way through is God speaking so specifically to the lies that are trying to come against you and the things that are trying to tear you down, to let you know this is who you actually are. And even though you feel this way, that's not the truth of who you are. Verse number 4 starts off like this. In him we are chosen. I think I got that right. For he chose us in him. I'll put it this way. You're not cursed. In Christ, you're blessed. Okay? You're not empty. In Christ, you're full. You're not forsaken. In Christ, you're chosen. You're chosen. You're chosen. But you can feel like, no, I'm not chosen, because every guy that's going on a date with me has not married me. So I'm not chosen. Every girl has picked some other guy that I'm not chosen. And I'm telling you, that's one level of choosing. But there's another level of choosing where God looks at you and says, son, daughter, if everybody else rejects you, in Christ, I choose you. I choose you. So now you got to battle with, what do I feel and what's actually true? I want to bring somebody up on the platform. Dom, come up here for me. Dom, don't be embarrassed, okay? Come on up here, Dom. You're off. Come on up. Run up here real quick. Come on, Dom. This is my man, Dom. I've known Dom since he was a young guy. Well, I guess he's still young, right? He's awesome. Love his parents so much. Dominic, do me a favor. I want you to give me $50 cash. Things are tight right now? Okay. Okay. Just $50. You don't have it. Okay. Check your back right pocket. Okay, Dom. You do have $50. So were you lying to me here? I'm not David Blaine, by the way, here. Y'all are like, how did they do that? This $50. I had somebody put it in your pocket before you got up here. I don't know who it was. Was it a guy or a girl? So somebody, you know, put woo. It's, during worship, he's like, woo, all right, Lord. We don't do that here at Shoreline City, just so you know. So I just want to bless you right now. No. Keep your hands to yourself. So he got this $50. It was given to him. Now, we could have gone back and forth. Dom did not think he had it, but I gave it to him. Okay. He did have it. Now, he didn't think he had it, but he had it. He didn't think he had it, but he had it. So God will say things to you like, you're chosen. You go, and he goes, check your pockets. I put something in there that you might not realize is in there. And what we're trying to do with this series is we're trying to pull out everything that God put in your pockets. Because in Ephesians, you're going to find out, dang, I got 50, 100, 25. I've got more than I even thought I had. That God gave it to you in Christ. But you and I live in a culture that's not celebrating what is given to us in Christ. We are celebrating just what we can see with our hands. And I'm telling you, God has given you so much more. Dom, you did great. You can have this $50 too. Put in an offering. Okay, you can have it. Verse number 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He chose you before the creation of the world. Before you made any mistakes, God chose you. Before you messed up, he chose you. This is crazy to even know that this is true. Before you and I could ever feel like I am the biggest screw up in the entire world, God said, I choose you. I choose you. And he chose you, and it says here, to be holy and blameless in his sight. Holy and blameless. I know sometimes the word holy can kind of scare us a little bit. Like, holy, I'm not holy. And I'm telling you, God called you to holiness and blamelessness. And I know sometimes in our day and age, we don't want to talk about holiness. We want to talk about cool. And I'm telling you, cool, I don't even see that in the Bible. But I see holy all throughout the Bible. So you don't want to be like, I'm so cool. Look at my nice fishnet shirt. I don't even know why my wife put me in this thing. I was hugging, giving Holly Wagner a hug earlier. Her earring got all stuck in my shirt or her watch or something like that. So I almost had to preach up here with Holly Wagner right here next to me. Cool is fine, but that's not your goal. God is calling us to something a whole lot higher and a whole lot deeper and a whole lot stronger than cool. Sometimes people say to me, oh man, I've seen Shoreline City on Instagram. That church is cool. I'm like, I don't want to be known for cool. I want anointed. I want fire of God. I want glory of God. I want presence of God. That's what I'm believing God for. So you might try to look at something on the outward and just think, oh, that's just this one thing. I'm telling you, in order for you and I to be who God has called us to be, there's this holiness and blamelessness that God has set for us. Now, our holiness does not come from you and I just trying to do the right thing all the time and trying to avoid all the bad things. I think that's a bad, bad picture of what it means to be holy. You have been made holy in Christ because of his finished work. You and I have right standing with God. So now when I'm living this life of holiness, I'm not living it just trying to avoid bad things. I'm actually trying to pursue the right thing. You see the difference? Holiness. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. No. Holiness. Jesus, make me more like you. Jesus, cleanse me from the inside out. Jesus, help me fall more in love with you and with your word. Jesus, shape me and mold me. Jesus, I want to hunger after the things you hunger after. I want to love the things that you love. Help Jesus change my appetite for things. Jesus, change my desire for things. God, give me a hunger and a thirst for you. Can I tell you all something? I'm about to give you a left turn real quick. Well, wait. That left? Yeah. No, that's right turn. Left turn. Real quick, left turn. I was talking to my teenage son the other day about pornography. So you still with me? Okay. So you're like, whoa, I didn't know that was coming. Pump fake. So we're talking about pornography. Why? Because it's everywhere. Okay? It's everywhere. And don't get uncomfortable. I'm not going to call people forward right now who want to, you know, lay it down at the altar. You can come up for prayer later. But for right now, just chill, okay? I'm talking to them because this stuff has a way of finding its way to our kids, even if we try to protect them from it. This world we live in is jacked up, crazy, messed up, and people are not trying to honor one another. They're just trying to do whatever feels best to them at any given time. So I was talking to him about it. I said, son, I love your mom. And sometimes I'm sitting around thinking about nothing, and a thought comes into my head. Go look at pornography. Just pops into my head. I'm not thinking about that. I'm not meditating. I haven't, thank by God's grace, it's been 26 years. I've been free from porn, so I'm so thankful for God's grace and all of that. But I still remember year one, looking my wife in the face and telling her about that struggle. I still remember that. So it's still really close to me. So I just told him, son, yeah, I'm a pastor. I'm a human being. And these thoughts hit me. I know they're going to hit you. You don't have to pretend like they're not going to hit you. And in church, we're always like pretending. I don't even see beauty. She ain't fine. He ain't fine. I don't even think any of those thoughts. Stop lying, okay? Stop lying. These thoughts come. So, son, why don't I go click? Why don't I? Why don't I go to Pornhub real fast and just go? Why don't I just go do that, just real quick? Just kind of satisfy that quick little itch, and I just kind of go, and then why don't I do that? Why am I choosing this holiness? Why am I choosing to stay pure before God? Well, obviously, I don't want to blow my life up. You know, that's one reason for sure. But I think that's kind of a lower level reason, like the consequences. I think that's one reason. But I also look at my beautiful wife, and I'm so thankful for her. Now, even if she wasn't beautiful, right? Because some guys can be like, well, my wife, she let herself go. So that's why, no. Hold up. I made a covenant with my wife, but not just with her, before God. So now, God, since I want to fulfill and honor what you and I have together. And part of what you and I have together is I'm called to love this beautiful woman as Christ loves the church. I am choosing to say no to this other thing because I'm saying yes to you all over again. Can I say yes to porn and yes to Jesus? No. So I don't want to be conflicted internally. I want to live a life that's lived for the glory and the majesty of God. And if we mess up, thank the Lord that he chose us in him before the creation foundation of the world. So he has still chosen us and there's always forgiveness. But in the meantime, I don't want to have scars I don't want to have. I don't want to have falls that I don't have to have. I want instead want to say, God, I want to live my life for your glory, living a life of purity that honors you in every single way. Was that too much? Y'all with me? Okay, keep on going here. Keep on going with me. We're not gonna go through all these verses because there's so many and they're good. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, not in anger, not in hate. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. In love, that's telling me that you might think God is mad at you and hates you. And I'm telling you that in love, he predestined you. In love, he predestined you for adoption to sonship or daughtership through Jesus Christ. Now, I know something about adoption as well. Two out of our three kids are adopted, something we always wanted to do since we were in college. And God was so gracious and kind to provide a way for that to be able to happen. We absolutely love it. I remember standing there. I almost brought the paper, but I would start crying. crying when I read the paper that they read in the courtroom, because they read through it and it is powerful. And then the judge drops that gavel and it's as if that child was now born to us. There is an exchange that happens. The Greek word here used for adoption is the adoption of sonship. This Greek word here is a legal term that was used. And what it meant back then is this individual who was being adopted, they had their old family. And if they had debts with their old family, once they got adopted with the new family, every old debt that they had with the old family was canceled immediately. And now they had a new mom, a new dad, a new house, a new family. They did not have to be a blood relative in order to have the inheritance that all the blood relatives had. They are now made right and they are brand new. That's something you have in your pocket. That's not based on your behavior. It's based on the finished work of Jesus. But many of us, some of us are here for baptisms today to kind of support, you know, our niece or nephew or grandson or friend or something like that. And you were raised in a church where you thought you had to earn your salvation, but you can't earn it. It's the finished work of Jesus Christ. This is grace first, not you first, not works first. It's God going first. And when God goes first, you and I respond to what he has done for us. Okay, let's keep on going here. I'm not going to go through everything, okay, because verses 6, 7, 8, I mean, it's good, it's rich, it is life-giving, it is wonderful. And I was reading through all of this, I'm like, man, this is really good. And I've read it before. But, man, I forget, it seems like, that the Bible says this stuff. I seem like it goes in one ear and out another. And it's not for everything, but just sometimes you're kind of in a flow and maybe, like, you don't have the money to pay a certain bill. So the first thing we can do sometimes is worry. Like, it happens so quick. But you sing a song like, you know, everything I need, the Lord, I know my Father has it. And you can sing it on Sunday. Then by Tuesday, you're faced with a medical bill that comes in the mail. You're like, wait, what am I going to do? We don't first think, God, a bill came in for you. Lord, I don't even know why they sent this to me. Lord, what's your forwarding address? Let me go ahead and send this right on to you because your boy don't have it. I don't have. You can look at something and we immediately look to ourselves. How quickly we forget. Quick, me included. Well, then I thought, well, this is something kind of encouraging in the Bible. We're not the only ones who forget. Go with me to John chapter 1 real fast. John chapter 1, okay? The Gospel of John chapter 1. Oh, let me turn here. John chapter 1. I don't have it saved. My bad. Okay, John chapter 1. Look at verse number 23. John replied. This is John the Baptist. His name's not the Baptist. He was baptizing. But John the Baptist, as we know him, replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet. He says this about himself. I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. This is what he says about himself as it pertains to his relationship with the Messiah that was to come. He says, I'm the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Verse number 29. Now look at this. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So this is what John the Baptist says about himself, and then he says about Jesus. We looked at that, the Lamb of God. We looked at that during Palm Sunday. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He says, that's who Jesus is. Yeah. Well, then, look with me in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 7, verses 18 and 19. Luke 7. Verses 18 and 19. This is the same John. John's disciples told him about all these things. So they told John, there's all these miracles happening, all these great things are happening that Jesus is doing. Calling two of them, He sent them to the Lord. John the Baptist sent them to Jesus to ask this question. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Wait. John was the one that was telling everybody, that's who he is. It's Jesus. Now he's saying, go ask him. Is he the one? Why was he asking that question? Why did he forget? He was in prison. This is moments before he's going to be beheaded. So he's in prison, and pain messed with his perspective. Just like it does with ours. God's a provider, God's a provider, God's a provider, until the bill comes. Whoa. Now what am I going to do? Whoa. The pain of that messed with your perspective on who God is. So John the Baptist is in prison. He's the forerunner to Jesus, and now he is questioning, Jesus, are you really the one? Because what I'm going through right now is so difficult, I need some reassurance that you are the one. And I want to give all of us assurance. He is the one. He is the one that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, think, or even imagine. He is the one that does provide every need. He is the one that forgives us of our sins. He is the one that puts our families back together. He is the one that it can sustain us. And even if things don't turn out the way we want them to turn out, exactly what we want them to turn out, he still works everything together for his good and for his glory. And I got my last verse. My last verse. We're going to be able to go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at this, verse number 11. In him, when we forget, in him we were also chosen. Again, in him we were also chosen. Here's that word again, chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him. Everybody say the plan. Say the plan. The plan of him who works out everything. Who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. He works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. He works out everything, not just some things, in conformity with the purpose of his will. I read that, you're like, okay, wait, what does that mean? Okay, so he has a plan. God has a plan. Then the Bible says he works out everything in conformity to his will. Because when God has a plan, so does the enemy. Now, these aren't equal. Don't get me wrong. The devil's a dog on a leash. But just like, let's take for instance, March Madness. Got any March Madness fans in here? Please, okay. I need a church that I want a pastor. Okay, so I'm going to need y'all to watch March Madness, okay? So next year, I need you to fill out a bracket, and I'm going to need you to be a part of March Madness in Jesus' name. Maybe Masters. Anybody like the Masters? Masters, okay? That's going on right now. Or UFC fighting, whatever it is, football, whatever it might be. You have a plan. The coach has a plan. The coach has a plan. The fighter has a plan. The tennis player has a plan. They have a plan. And my plan is X, Y, and Z. This is my plan. And then they get out there. The problem with a plan is there's opposition to the plan. You want to start a business. Here's my business plan. Okay, great. Then the economy does something different. I got a plan. Okay, I got a plan for my health. Then all of a sudden, there's a left curveball that comes my direction that I didn't realize was going to come my direction. We have a plan, and then life, or sometimes the devil or his imps, come our way, spiritual warfare, to try to knock us off the plan. So God has a plan, and then life happens. When we see life happen, we're like, oh, what's God going to do? But this verse tells us, put it back on the screen for me again, verse number 11, put verse number 11 on the screen. It says that God takes everything and he works it out to conform to his will. It's like your situation and my situation is Play-Doh, and in God's hands, he conforms it to turn into what he wants it to turn into. So in the Garden of Eden, God sets up a plan. The enemy comes in, and humanity chooses a side with the enemy instead of choosing the side with God. But in the beginning, God was working. He was conforming everything to his will. So he was taking even the fall of humanity, saying, I can conform that. If God can conform that moment in Genesis to his will, what makes you think he can't conform everything that you're dealing with his will? That means he can take abuse. He can take drug addiction. He can take divorce. He can take shortcomings. He can take your weaknesses. He can take your faults. He can take your failures. He can take it all, the things you did on purpose and the things somebody else did to you. He can take every stab you've had in the back. He can take it all, and he can say, I can conform that to my will too. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. This is what's in your pocket. This is what's in your pocket. And you and I are like, oh, it's over. Oh, it's over. It's not over. What are you talking about? Over. If it was over, you would already been dead, and God would even take your death and conform that to his will. That's the God that we serve. So we sang the song earlier, I still believe. I still believe you're working. I still believe you're moving. I still sing a little bit, team. Just sing a little bit. Just a little bit. Don't sing it too much, because we got to get out of here and go baptize.
I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working. All things for good.
Okay, stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right there. Because I feel like we can blow the roof off this place. So I don't want. We got to go baptize people. We got to baptize people. But sing that line. Sing that again. Sing that again. Just a little bit.
I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working all things for good.
Oh, man. I still believe you're working all things for good. I believe you're conforming this to your will. I believe you're conforming this to you. I didn't know I was going to be single this long, but you're conforming this to your will. I did not know we'd be in the hospital this long, but you're going to conform this to your will. God, I did not know my finances would look like this, but you're going to conform this to your will. I did not know that addiction would hit me like that. God, you're going to conform this to your will. I did not know my family would go through what it's going through right now. You're going to conform this to your will. Okay, stop, Mudo, because Mudo will try to push us. I know. I hear you, Mudo. I hear you. I hear you. I love that about you. Bow your heads if you want mine, family. Bow your heads just for a moment. He's conforming it all. He's conforming it all. He's shaping it all. He's molding it all. The good, the bad, the happy, the sad. He's conforming it all. I needed to hear this. I needed to hear it. Every bad report, every good report. He's conforming it all to his will. When I went right, when I should have gone left, he's conforming that to his will. God, seal this word in Jesus' name by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to not forget. And when we do, use your word to shout so loud to our hearts. Woo, in Jesus' name. If you're under the sound of my voice, you've never given your heart and your life to Jesus. You've never made him first. You've never made him number one. But you're under the sound of my voice right now. You're saying, I don't want to go my own way anymore. I want to go the way of Christ. On the count of three, I want you to do something simple but bold. I just want you to throw your hand in the air and say, yes, that's me. I want to give my heart and my life to Jesus. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Just lift your hand up. You're saying, yep, that's me. That's me. We got friends all over. You're saying, yep, that's me. For the first time, or rededicate your life to serving Jesus. Come on. You got a grandmother that prayed for you, a mom that prayed for you, a dad that prayed for you, a neighbor that's praying for you right now. You're not here on accident. You're not online or in that theater on accident. God brought you here to this moment, conforming everything to his will. And his will is that everyone will be saved. I'm gonna ask everyone to put your hand over your heart if you would not mind. And I want everyone to repeat this prayer out loud after me. Say, dear Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I admit I made mistakes. And today I give you my heart. I give you my life. Give me the power to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Lift your heads up. Clap your hands, church family. Man, come on, let God save some people today.